Well, howdy, partner. When I'm not roping bulls and riding horses, I like building progressive web apps powered by Microsoft Graph. Come on down to Build 2018. It's like a rodeo, but with computers.
Jeff, what was that?
Yes, okay.
That's a great question.
I can't even introduce myself yet. I just have to say, what was that?
All right, the hat was a rental because
okay.
I left mine at home. But everything else was in my suitcase for Build. So
naturally.
Yeah, it was just, that's my natural habitat, you know?
Only at Build, you guys. I'm Christina Warren. We're here at a Build Live powered by Channel 9, and it is day two of Build, and we're going to be talking about progressive web apps and cowboys, partners.
Well, I think that cowboys just reinforce the idea of progressive web apps, you
okay.
know? Progression, cowboys.
All right, I'm with Jeff, and you're going to have to say your last name for me again because...
Bertoft.
Jeff yes. Bertoft, who's Principal Program Manager, and Kyle Pflug, who is also Principal Program Manager.
If that's news to me, I'm a Senior Program Manager.
Senior Program Manager.
But I'll take it.
You've been promoted.
Excellent.
Welcome to the next level.
Yeah.
Both on the Edge team. All right, so we're talking about progressive web apps, and this has been a big topic actually for a while.
Yep.
But it's coming up a lot during Build, and there's been a lot of things. We just saw your promo for your session. How did your talk go, first off?
It went great. Great. We had a lot of interest in PWAs, and so it's really good to hear people give feedback from the community about how excited they are about what we're talking about. So.
All right, so let's just pretend that everybody watching in the audience that they have no idea what a
okay.
PWA is. All right, give me like just your like bullet point definition. What's a PWA?
Yes.
Sorry, do you want me to?
Yeah, absolutely. So the shortest definition of a PWA is really that it is web content that has the opportunity to be promoted outside of the browser context. So this is all based on web standards. So there's a set of APIs, like Service Worker API, the Web App Manifest, Push API, that all, when taken together, give a web app the ability to really have a native-like experience. Mm-hmm. And so on Windows and on other platforms, we look for those signals. And when they're present, we can take that app and really allow it to live outside of the browser. So on Windows specifically, it can go into the Microsoft Store. So you can install it from the store. It'll appear in your Start menu. It'll appear in your taskbar. And you can have an app-like experience that's all built on web technologies and all served from your server. So
okay.
as a developer, you know, you can play to your strengths and still keep control. As a user, you're having a great app experience.
OK, so it's a web app, but I can run it maybe outside of like a browser context, maybe
yep.
a different type of you know, Chrome on the outside or,
yep.
or Windows sizes or what have you. And it can also work offline.
That's correct. So the Service Worker API I mentioned is essentially a network proxy that's in a separate process. So it can allow you to go to the cache instead of the network if internet's not available. It can also do things like send push notifications when the browser or when the app is closed. So you can really have a more engaging experience like you're used to with a native app.
So why would I want a PWA if I can just have a pinned tab in my browser, since my browser is always open? Like, what would be the advantage of a PWA?
Sure. Ultimately, it's just going to be a more familiar experience. Our philosophy on Windows is that a progressive web app looks like an app and it quacks like an app, so we want it to be an app. So we're going to put it all the places you expect to find an app. And users are looking for apps to be in the taskbar. They want to manage the storage quotas and the permissions and settings. They want to see it in the Start menu. They want to have it have the same capabilities as they'd have an app have. Additionally, there's when you are a PWA and you're installed, unlike a pinned site, you actually lose the browser Chrome that you mentioned when you launch it. So there's a little bit less cognitive overhead, as well as, you know, from an architectural side, it's actually in a separate app container. It's running in the UWP host, which has some additional advantages. For example, on Windows, when you're in that UWP host as a installed progressive web app, you can actually access WinRT APIs to do some cool things on Windows, like access jump lists from the Start menu or from the taskbar, use the ShareCharm integration in Windows, and so on. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you guys were mentioning like this is built on web standards. So this
yep.
is one of those things. It's not just Microsoft who's doing this, right? I mean, you know, Google, arguably, like, they were kind of the big proponent behind this, right?
Yep.
And Safari has support for this in some capacities as well, mm-hmm. And Firefox as well. So this is something that is not just, obviously, if you're building it for Edge, that's great. And if you're wanting to take advantage of some of the native functionality, you know, on Windows to put it in the Microsoft Store, et cetera. Yep. But if you're building a PWA, it could conceivably run on any operating system, even on mobile operating systems. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, one of the principles of a PWA is the word progressive is right there in the name. And that stands for progressive enhancement. So philosophically, we want to make sure a PWA is always a great experience, even if some of those technologies we mentioned aren't present. So all those APIs I talked about are cross-browser standards. And like you mentioned, they're supported pretty broadly across mobile operating systems and desktop operating systems. But ultimately, it's important if you have a good web experience, even if there's not support for Service Worker or push notifications, you still want to give your users a good experience. So PWAs are designed to really expand to provide a better experience as all those new APIs and new capabilities light up. But when those aren't available, you still want to have a strong baseline experience. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd add in, you know, when we're working with web developers, we know that one of the big reasons they've chosen the web is because they're looking to write cross-platform.
Right.
So they're looking for a technology, or in this case, like an umbrella of technologies that help them accomplish their app goals mm-hmm. on all the different platforms. So when you're running on different, you know, like a different operating system, if you're running inside of an Android phone, they have a kind of their own take on what progressive web apps look like. The key is the developer does the same thing, and then it just kind of changes from platform to platform.
Okay, so with the, and correct me, this is a bad analogy, but would it kind of be like, you know, when responsive design kind of yeah. came out, and it kind of, you know, you have different, you know, views depending on what size device you're on, and you could even have different experiences beyond just the sizing. Is this kind of the same context where depending on what platform it's operating on and what features that platform supports in terms of the PWAs will determine what features mm. it can support?
Yeah, we highly recommend when we talk with developers, like responsive design is one of the things you want to make sure you're including in your progressive web app, because you just don't know where or when it's going to be ran. You don't know on what size device. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you're supporting it, and it's going to be a great experience no matter where you are.
So what would you say to developers who right now are, and I know that tomorrow we're going to be speaking to some members of the Twitter team who've actually kind of been yeah. in the process of doing this, but people who have maybe had a native app, but also have had a web app mm-hmm. and are now looking at maybe a progressive web app is the best solution for us in the future. Mm-hmm. What advice mm-hmm. would you give them if they're coming from a native platform and then going to the web?
Yeah, so I think the first thing we want to emphasize is, you know, your choice of technology is going to be deeply personal to your organization. And so, you know, Twitter spoke today, and they'll be talking some more tomorrow here as well. They chose to go the PWA route because they're heavily invested in the web. It aligns to their interests in having, you know, consistent brand across platforms, mm-hmm. and they really want to make sure they're getting the most out of the code that they're writing and reusing across platforms. So PWA is a great solution for them. It could be that depending on the kind of app you're building, native could be the good solution. And for example, you know, if you really want to make heavy use of the GPU, or if you need to write to disk, read from disk arbitrarily. There are a lot of cases like that where the web isn't the right approach. So, sure. you know, we really encourage every organization to think about, like, what are the competencies of your developer staff? What kind of frameworks and tool chains do you rely on? And what are your goals on different platforms? You know, do you want to look the same everywhere? Do you want to really deeply tailor for each device and have a pixel-perfect layout on yep. Windows or on different devices? And those are the sorts of considerations that, you know, the organization will have to make. PWA is kind of one on a spectrum of options that we're trying to offer. Yep. And, you know, for a lot of developers, it's a great choice.
And we've seen, over the years, we've seen developers who have looked at solutions like Cordova
yes.
to help bring their web app across platforms. And I think one of the things that's different about progressive web apps is really the performance improvements that they can get with service workers. Mm-hmm. And so service workers is a key technology that allows you to handle things like offline scenarios and low connection scenarios. But it can also be used to really increase the performance of your application. You know, we have tons of frameworks that we use in the web and everything, and some of them get a little heavy.
Yes.
Loading them on a page really extends that initial page load. Service workers can give you that, like, native-ish, that we call it the native-ish performance, which now really makes those decisions a little easier. If I'm thinking about choosing web versus choosing Xamarin or, you know, another solution for cross-platform, in most scenarios, the performance really isn't a downside for the web anymore. Because with service workers, you can get that same type of performance that you get with other app types that load content locally.
Okay, so that was going to be my next question is about what's kind of related to performances. You know, because one of the things people are afraid of, because we've seen this in the past, you mentioned Cordova, but I'll also, you know, say the E word, you know, Electron,
yeah.
You can see this, where it can be, it can use a lot of memory, it can use a lot of RAM, it can use a lot of, you know, CPU cycles. So what are the potential trade-offs and maybe what are some of the advantages that you can have with PWAs?
So one advantage of a PWA compared to a packaged solution like Electron is that you don't have to carry along, you know, a separate copy of the rendering engine and, you know, the whole Razor runtime with you. So for a PWA, you're actually leveraging the system copy. In Windows's case, of the Edge engine and the Chakra JavaScript engine, all of that is already present on the system. And then we do things like, if you have a service worker, it runs in the background as a Windows service, so you don't actually have to have the browser overhead, even when the browser's closed. That's really well integrated into the operating system, and that's how your push notifications are delivered. So the impact, the footprint of all that is a lot lower compared to a more packaged solution like Electron. Additionally, you know, it gives you the ability to take that and be portable across platforms. So you get that same experience on Android, on iOS.
And I would say the experience of building applications is also much more aligned with what web developers are used to with progressive web apps. Because with progressive web apps, you're basically publishing your service worker and your manifest to your web server. And then the rest happens on the OS level. So you don't have that process of packaging it up, then building it, and, you know, shipping the package, and then having to update the package and things of that sort. So it's much more aligned with like the work patterns that web developers are already using for their websites.
Okay. And when you're saying, you know, take advantage, you know, letting the OS take care of things, does that mean that you need to customize for each target OS that you're kind of building the PWA for? Or could you conceivably build one PWA and kind of have it?
You absolutely should build one PWA that works everywhere. And one of the, and Kyle mentioned progressive being one of the key technologies. Mm-hmm. The idea of progressive enhancement means when you have features available, you take advantage of them. And when they're not there, you don't fail. You go to a polyfill or a backup experience. And so that's how we really encourage developers to approach progressive web apps as a whole. If you're on Windows and you have Windows APIs, like Twitter's going to talk about, then you go ahead and you call them. You add a jump list. But you shouldn't not be able to launch on other platforms, right? There's other APIs on Chrome that you have to feature detect to take advantage of there as well. So it's really the idea that you have one code base that runs everywhere, but can take advantage of those native and those platform features when they're there.
So just maybe add in flags or whatever to in your code that's saying, okay, if you're on this platform, then enable these features. If on this platform, do these things. Okay, makes sense. Let's talk about some of those Windows-specific features. And I know we're going to get more into depth with this when we talk to the Twitter team, but what are some of the things that you can do on Windows with a PWA that are kind of special?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we're working with developers a lot right now who are getting started on the platform. And so there's certain things that we think are really cool that are like, oh, hey, this is a really cool feature that you can access Bluetooth. But then it's funny when we talk with web developers, they come back with a little bit of a different list. So one of the funniest things that, I shouldn't say funny, but one of the most surprising things for me is like being able to set dark and light mode is a really big deal for web developers.
Yeah.
Having the access to that API to know whether the system color is dark or light suddenly makes that web app blend in with the system.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think from a user experience, right? Like that definitely makes it feel better. And it feels like, okay, this isn't just some weird kind of, you know, like Franken app that I don't know really where it came from.
Yep.
And they built it in it, and it's cool, but it doesn't really feel the same, and it's weird. And I want everything to be dark, or I want everything to be light.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, and if you're a web developer, especially when you think a lot about how your stuff looks and you want it to be a certain way. So it makes sense that that would be a big deal. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so light and dark mode, what else?
Share is another big one. Like there's a web standard for sharing back and forth. And so on Windows, we have the ability to share out from the app, but to have your web app be a share to target, one that they, like when you're sharing on Windows, being able to share it to one of your progressive web apps is actually a big deal. And like apps like Twitter that are platforms for sharing, being able to use that API so that other native apps can then go through the progressive web app allows them to participate in the ecosystem a way that they just can't do when they're working through the browser.
And share is actually a great example because we have a really great WinRT share contract on Windows, which is what which is what the Twitter implementation is using when they're on Windows. And as Jeff mentioned, there is a W3C standard for share that's evolving right now as well that has both a share to and a share from component. And so one thing we have as a principle on the Edge team is as the standards evolve and basically provide a standards-based analog to what we can do proprietary on the Windows side, and you know we're part of those conversations as a browser vendor as well. You know, as that becomes available in Edge, we actually want to make that the default way to have these experiences inside a progressive web app. Because ultimately, to the extent possible, we want a PWA to be interoperable across platforms without the need to, you know, really program for a specific code base unless it's unique to that code base. So.
And there's a couple other ones. Like if you think about specific industries like media, media is one of those areas where a lot of companies are turning to web apps because like with EME, like the APIs on the web are so good that they can really do the type of streaming apps that they want. But they also want to be able to handle like system media controls. When I hit the volume button on my keyboard or on my headphones or whatever, I anticipate it's going to turn the volume of that app down.
You want to be able to mute something.
Mute something, forward, back, that type of thing. And then even the like the miniature player window that a movie player can go into mini player mode so that you can watch while you're working or doing other things on the screen, those are all APIs that are just JavaScript APIs inside of progressive web apps that we're seeing media apps take advantage of and puts them on a level playing field with what other apps are doing with native technologies. So they can deliver all those features that the users expect from a traditional media app.
Well, I mean, you were saying earlier, one of the one of the cool features that web developers might not appreciate as much. You mentioned Bluetooth support.
Yeah.
I don't know, frankly, I mean, that's a really big deal because when you consider kind of the state of Bluetooth and how that hasn't even been like a wide web standard really for a while for Bluetooth support. Has it? I mean, that's fairly new.
Well, there's basically standard proposals out there. Chrome has a version that they're supporting. But the WinRT APIs give you access to a lot of stuff that you know you wouldn't expect and are not elevated even in the web spec today. So having that hardware access can be a really big deal. Having file system access the way that native apps do can be a really big deal. Being able to pair it with like native code that can access different drivers and things like that is a big deal. One other one that I'm hearing excitement about is the WinML that we've talked about this week. Having machine learning, like that's something we're talking about in the spec space. Like, wouldn't a WebML be really cool to have that standardized? But we actually have that now, which means that those people who are out there talking about it being cool on the web can start doing it today on Windows with WinML and try to figure out whether there really is a use case for this and where the benefits are. And very likely affect the way things are standardized for all the other browsers as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about packaging and updates and kind of how people do this stuff. Because obviously, you could say one way to get a PWA is just to visit the site, right? I mean, that is basically the package. The URL is the package. But this came with it's the latest version of Windows, the April update. Is that what it shipped in? Now progressive web apps can actually be packaged in. Put in the Microsoft Store. How do developers go about doing that?
So there's a couple ways you can wind up in the store as a PWA today. The first one that we're pretty excited about that we're piloting right now is we're actually going out and looking at web app manifests with the Bing crawler to build up a list of high quality PWAs that are on the web and experimenting with automatically indexing those into the Microsoft Store. So this is something that's in a beta program right now, and it's really an experiment to see, you know, what are the expectations of developers if they're automatically indexed in this way. We're notifying developers as we roll this out.
Good.
And then there's also, you know, obviously there's controls to opt out, so you can opt your manifest file with robots.txt, or if you have the browser UI flag in the web app manifest set, then we actually won't index that. So we're experimenting with what all those controls look like, but the idea here is really that we see the web app manifest as a signal from a website that I intend to be treated like an app. And as I mentioned earlier, we really expect, you know, if it's an app-like experience, we want it to be in all the places an app goes, and that includes the store. And so obviously there's ways for developers to take control of that submission along the way.
No, but the app itself and store, I mean, is basically just a launcher. It's basically just downloading a pointer, and then it's launching. Maybe you have like jump lists, maybe you have some of the other integrations, but it's basically just launching that, you know, containerized instance of of the browser with whatever, you know, Chrome it's designated, whatever color pattern it has, and then it's updating itself, I assume, every time it launches, it's able to pull for updates. Is that how that works?
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, it's just the code hosted on the web developers or the site owner's server, and then, you know, using Service Worker, they can control when they go to the cache for updates, when they go to the server for updates. So we're not actually packaging anything up locally
Got
there. And then the other method is if they actually want to go and submit it manually through the Microsoft Store. And I think Jeff can probably speak very well to that.
Yes, so we've got a tool that our teams, along with many folks in the community, help support called PWA Builder. And the whole idea, the reason why we kicked that off is because we heard a lot from web developers, how do I go from being a web app to being a progressive web app? So we help them build the manifest, we help them get started with service workers, and then at the end, we help them package. So it's really like if you want to self-publish, you can go to PWA Builder, get a side load to start testing out, and then when you're ready, you go to the store, pull a couple pieces of information, plug it in there, and then PWA Builder packages it all up in that little Apex, the manifest data for you, and then you submit that to the store. Mm-hmm. So developers, we're just getting started with exploring this indexing and figuring out exactly how that should work. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to wait for that, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You know, thousands of other developers have already gone and just done that and put it in the store
and
themselves.
Just, they've gone through, they've used the PWA Builder and yep. They've just submitted themselves. And now if they wanted to do an update, is it just calling its own kind of main file that is indicated in the manifest, or do they have to submit it new each time? How does that work?
So for the most part, updates just happen. Like to your app, they just happen by you publishing to your web server. There are some scenarios where the reason why there's a package is because there's also some metadata around it. Like some of the permissions, like for jump lists and stuff like that are in there. The images that we use for the tiles, the name of the app. You know, those are stuff that have to live locally. So if you want to update the name of your app or your branding, you will have to go back and submit a new version of that package. But if it's not that scenario, then you're done. You don't have to go back to the store. Like that's one of the things that's kind of freeing about a progressive web app is you submit it once and then you're just pushing to your web server and doing your updates there. So it fits in with that workflow that web developers are used to.
And is there anything, I guess, in terms of for developers then about getting support, you know, or getting support requests, you know, from users, especially if you're now in the store? Because it's a little bit different scenario if I have a web app that people are accessing in a browser and they kind of understand the paradigm that this is a website and that this is not something that's installed on my computer versus I'm accessing this on, you know, from the Microsoft Store. I'm having an issue with it. It might not even be associated with the app. It might be something else. Yep. And I'm going to leave a bad review because of that issue. What can kind of developers do in terms of, I guess, getting feedback and talking with their customers if they are in the Microsoft Store? Yeah.
So there's a couple great channels that you actually get by virtue of being in the store. Yep. One of which is that, as you mentioned, you have access to reviews and you can communicate with your customers via the reviews. So that's a communication channel. Similarly, you can actually integrate with the feedback hub on Windows because you have access to UWP capabilities as an installed app. So you can actually use that to receive some of that feedback early. And Twitter is an example of an app that's been doing this really effectively, where they published and immediately got a lot of feature requests for things like keyboard shortcuts that on their PWA on mobile devices weren't really relevant, but made a lot of sense when on a desktop. So things like Control Enter to send a tweet. And we're really quick in iterating to add those features in response to user feedback in the feedback hub. So, I think there's, in a lot of ways, I would flip it on its head and say it's actually, we're sort of blessed to have these additional avenues for user feedback in that regard.
I would add in a user doesn't know it's a web app. To them, it's an app. It's an app they downloaded from the store. So they kind of go through those traditional channels. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually one of the things we first talked to developers about. It's like, listen, before you even think about going to the store where you're going to have reviews and ratings and stuff like that, you need to make sure that you have a cross-platform web app. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's working great in Edge. You want to make sure it's working great in Chrome. You want to make sure it's working great in Safari. Because when you're under that microscope of a store, you got to be ready for the responses that come from your users. Like, we're not used to, as web developers, having that direct channel with our users. The store does that, so make sure that your interoperability is there on your web app before you even think about going to the PWA level.
Yep.
Good practice.
Is there a language, web language that is best suited for PWAs?
French.
I mean, I don't know. Is it all just a JavaScript world? I mean,
it's HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Yeah. I mean, we're sort of, we're not going to drive anybody toward a particular framework or library or method of doing this.
What I was getting at. So it's fairly agnostic. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
See, there's also like WebGL is a big one. When we talk about like MR, it's actually really cool. You can build an MR PWA. So you can be on the Windows devices and be in full immersive mode with a progressive web app. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool there. The other thing that we're talking to a lot of developers about is WebAssembly, running WebAssembly inside of a progressive web app, which means like paired with the right technology, you're just going to be writing your app in C# instead of JavaScript. And so there's a lot of possibilities for when these different technologies come together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think one of the strengths of PWAs now especially is that the web platform has been evolving so rapidly and getting these new capabilities, and also just has one of the richest ecosystems of developer communities and frameworks and tool chains and really ways for developers to find support and help building things. So it's really a great place to get started, and there's a lot of support out there.
All right, so where are some resources? Where can people go if they want to kind of get started with this stuff?
So we've got a great set of documentation online. If you go to aka.ms/PWAs, PWAs, there's a lot of resources there, including some code samples, examples of the WinRT APIs that are available in JavaScript, as well as documentation on the web standards as well. And then I'd encourage you to check out PWA Builder, which I'll let you sell PWA Builder.
Yeah, so PWA Builder, if you haven't gone into the sphere of PWAs and you're looking for that transition tool, it's a great way to get started. And again, we're adding to it all the time. Going back to the docs, a lot of people have said, "Hey, where are your docs?" Because in the past, we've kind of pointed to Chrome, since it is a standard implementation. We do have some really awesome sets of docs now that talk a little bit deeper about those points where we might do things a little bit different than Chrome does and stuff like that.
Are there any resources out there, or maybe the docs make this clear, where it can kind of compare how things are, how PWAs differ on each platform right now? Do you know?
So actually, I would start with MDN. MDN Web Docs is the official name now. So actually, all the browser vendors have recently agreed to make that the primary source of our browser documentation for things that are web standards. And MDN has an awesome set of resources for not only what the APIs are for PWAs, but how the implementation differs on platforms and what the support statuses across different platforms. Yeah. One thing I'd mention while we're talking about differences across platforms is that this isn't something that we're going to say, we shipped PWAs in the April 2018 update and we're done forever, that's all you get. This is something we're definitely still evolving over time. We've got lots of developer interest in, are there different ways we could think about what the frame for PWAs looks like, and maybe I want a URL bar or a share button. So we're still evolving how those conversations look, and we expect to continue to do so in previous releases. So one more URL I'd give you is if you go to status.microsoftedge.com, you can see a list of essentially all the web standards APIs that we either support or don't support, and you can actually vote on, this one's important to me, and I really want you to implement that in your next release, and that helps us prioritize what we do next. Yep.
And to follow up on that, is there where that developers can kind of get directly in touch with your team and Microsoft to kind of say, these are things I need or that I want from PWAs in the future, these are things that I really need to support to make things kind of better and maybe fulfill my developer dreams more?
Yeah, I mean, our Twitter account for the Microsoft Edge team that builds the web platform that powers PWAs is at msedgedev.
Okay.
And so you can find us there. We're pretty responsive. We read all the tweets and we respond to most of them. So, come reach out with your questions, your feature suggestions. We'd love to interact with you. And then I'm Kyle Alden on Twitter. I'd be happy to take any more direct questions as well.
I am Boy of Green.
Boy of Green?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're a cowboy and a Boy of Green.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a very deep person. There's layers and layers.
I love it. The hat was my favorite thing, honestly. They call it a Stetson. Is that what that's called?
Well, it wasn't really a Stetson.
Oh no, because that's really high, right?
There's a quality level to
this. There's a quality level to this.
This was a rental hat. That's why I pointed that out. I didn't want people to think.
Okay, but
it
my
hat.
Oh, you were saying, it wasn't good enough to be your hat stand.
Right, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Well, because you didn't want to put it in your suitcase and
you don't
flatten it or whatever.
There's a hat bin.
There's a hat bin. I don't know if you ever noticed this on an airplane.
No.
Above the seats, you open it up, it's a hat bin there where you can put your hat. Some people put luggage there too.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's actually made for cowboy hats.
That's why it's called the overhead bin.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see myself out.
Kyle, you. honestly, with the dad joke, we gotta go.
That's
we gotta
right.
go. All right. So everybody, check out those docs. We're gonna put some of the things in the show notes. Like you were saying, it's aka.ms/PWAs.
Yep.
To get more information and PWA Builder if you want to start the process of getting your own PWA created.
Yep.
All right. Great. Thank you guys both so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.